Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. The pace of technological advancement is accelerating, while the pace of its adoption is increasing. As we advance through the age of the Internet of Things and autonomous cyber-physical systems, the nation may become more vulnerable to its adversaries. It is within this context that the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, through the thoughtful and efficient use of science and technology, works to help ensure the nation's security. From border security to biological defense to cybersecurity, DHS's Science and Technology Directorate, S&T, is at the forefront of integrating R&D across public and private sectors and the international community to meet Homeland Security mission needs. Science and technology are essential to fulfilling the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's missions effectively, efficiently, and safely, while addressing emerging challenges and seizing certain opportunities. What are the strategic priorities for DHS's Science and Technology Directorate? What is the purpose of the National Conversation on Homeland Security Technology? How is DHS building a strong and healthy leadership culture within the S&T Directorate? I will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Dr. Reggie Brothers, Undersecretary for Science and Technology at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Dr. Brothers, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Angela Carrington. Angela, welcome back.
Thank you, Michael.
So, Dr. Brothers, would you define the mission of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's Science and Technology Directorate, S&T, and how has its mission evolved to date?
Thank you. So I like to say our mission is to use the tools of technology and those of science to help make our country, our communities, our people more secure. And I think the reason why that's changed over time has been because the way we do research, the way we do innovation in this country has fundamentally changed over time. And we can talk about that.
I want to understand the operational scope of your portfolio. How is it organized? What's the size of your budget? The number of folks that work or report to you? And do you have a geographical footprint that expands the country and beyond?
We have a research and development budget, about $400 to $450 million per year, about 1,000 people. And while many of our staff are located here in the D.C. area, we have laboratories and universities across the country.
And Dr. Brothers, can you tell us more about your specific area and your role as a DHS Undersecretary for Science and Technology and kind of what your specific responsibilities and what are the areas under your purview?
Sure. So all this comes from the Homeland Security Act of 2002, where my role was authorized. Essentially, I'm the science advisor to the secretary and the deputy secretary. I'm responsible for the oversight of the department's research and development portfolio. I'm also responsible for operational test and evaluation. We have 11 centers of excellence, 13 bilateral relationships with our international partners. We oversee the Safety Act. We work in export control. So there's a tremendous variety of things that we do. If you start thinking about the range, the diversity, the scope of the missions defined for the department in our quadrennial Homeland Security Review, we are essentially responsible for developing capabilities for our components, Coast Guard, Transportation Security Administration, Secret Service, FEMA, et cetera, to help them do their jobs better and make a difference in securing the homeland.
So, Dr. Brothers, with that kind of a portfolio and the expansiveness, what are some of the top challenges you face, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
So at the top level, one of the biggest challenges I found coming into this position was the fact that there are different time constants in terms of the responses we have to give. So, for example, there are certain things that we have to research over a longer period of time. So, for example, different types of phenomenologies for detecting explosives, for example, right? So that can lead to a longer-term research effort. But then all of a sudden, a gyrocopter lands in the White House. We are threatened with drones in some ways. And you end up with these quick, as I call them, pop-ups that we have to deal with. What's challenging from a research and development institution's perspective is how do you manage that kind of capacity, right? So if you've got an investment portfolio, you have resources, you have people that are working on these longer-term research and development projects, and all of a sudden something happens, how do you develop that flex capacity? And so I think that's one of the biggest challenges I have. Another large challenge I have that's related is then within those priority areas, how do you prioritize those? Right. So how do you figure out, given the relative impact of different types of threats, the probability of these threats, how do you determine what you should invest in? So those are all challenges that we have and I'm trying to deal with.
And with those challenges, a lot of times there's unanticipated surprises that come along. Can you kind of talk about what's the biggest surprise that you've encountered in your current role?
For example, I think there are these so-called black swan events that people talk about, right? You know, these things that are unexpected, but once you see them, you probably should have realized these things would actually happen. Some of the things that are going on, for example, in the commercial world with drones, with the IoT, Internet of Things, for example, can give these kind of events. These are things that we're trying to track and try to, in some ways, anticipate what they could be. But they all present these kind of challenges, again, because... one of the things I've learned by being at the department is you've got this constant trade-off. And this trade-off is usually between the speed of commerce, between privacy, security, these kinds of things. And so there's always this area where you have to start thinking, well, if I start developing a capability to make something more secure, what are the impacts to privacy? What are the impacts to civil liberties? And so it's not as easy as someone might think to make something secure because of these other types of concerns we have. So as the pace of technology increases, as the pace of technological adoption increases, we have to be very concerned with what does that mean as we are trying to not put limits on commerce, on economic gains, but how do we make people and the communities more secure at the same time?
Very interesting. Can we kind of talk about your personal career path, and can you tell us how you got to your current role?
Before this position, I was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Research. So obviously that's in the Department of Defense. Essentially that position is oversight over the Department of Defense's research portfolio, as well as over their laboratory enterprise. Before that, I was in industry. I was at BAE Systems in industry. And then before that, I was a program manager at DARPA. So then I was back in the government role. Mm-hmm. Then before that, I was in Draper Laboratory. So it's a nonprofit laboratory. And before that, I was actually in a startup company. So I think one of the things that I'm happy about and I've really enjoyed about my career thus far has been seeing most of the parts of what I call the S&T ecosystem. Right? So if you think about this ecosystem as industry, as laboratories, as government, I've had the opportunity to be in small industry and startup companies. I've had the opportunity to be in a large industry, the opportunity to be in our laboratories, and now in a senior government role. So it's been quite fascinating.
That's great. And it's an excellent segue into getting a little insight into your leadership style and your management approach. What are some of your key leadership principles? And perhaps you can illustrate for us how you've applied those principles throughout your career.
Sure. So I think the first thing I like to do in terms of leadership is defining a vision. Where are we going? If I can talk about that right now, I think one of the first things we did when I came into this position was to start talking about visionary goals. And I got this actually from a DARPA idea that I read about, quite frankly, where one of the earlier DARPA directors, Dr. Heimeyer, had what he called his silver bullets. And two of these silver bullets were, let's make the oceans transparent and let's make aircraft invisible. So if you think about those, have we made aircraft invisible? Well, no. Have we made the oceans transparent? Well, no. But what have we done? Right? Well, we've made stealth, underwater warfare. So these are things that his silver bullets have led to tremendous developments because they push the envelope in terms of where we can go and what we can do. So I thought, well, why don't we do that here? Let's try to figure out what we can do in homeland security in terms of developing these visionary goals. And we did that. And I think what I'm really proud of is the way we did that. Right. So we said, we put a group together, internal to S&T, and said, what do you think the visionary goal should be? Let's say we think, what can we do in 15, 20, maybe 30 years? So we developed a list. Then we said, well, let's take that list further and talk to the rest of DHS. And we sent it out to our component leads. And they added and subtracted from that. They edited that. Then we said, let's go even further. And then we went out to a website, and we actually asked for the public to comment on these visionary goals. We actually had 1,500 people sign up and register for this website, which I thought, quite frankly, for DHS S&T was pretty impressive. And we got wonderful comments back, wonderful comments. What we found was that people are really interested in security and interested in being a part of this process, which then led us to develop a national conversation on certain topic areas, which we're continuing, and actually our component leads are working with us in that mode. So that's setting the goals part. Then the second thing I like to do is once we set the goal is empower our workforce. Mm-hmm. I think it's essential. You know, how do we make sure that the excellent people that we have feel empowered to do the jobs? Because I and then the folks I work with in the front office, we don't have all the answers. Our great people do. So the question is, how do we best empower them to do their jobs and be enthused and innovate in the best ways they can? Third part is communication. I think that once you've set a goal, once you've tried to give your people empowerment, it's important to allow them to communicate. And I think a big part of my job then is to break down barriers to that communication. Because as you know, in any large organization, you have silos, stovepipes, whatever you want to call them. A leader's job is to break down those barriers. And then I think the fourth thing is to get out of the way. All right, just get out of the way. You know, once you have folks know where you're going with appropriate metrics and accountability, you've given them the power, you've given them the communication, the resource they need to do their job, just get out of the way. Come back when they need some help.
What are the strategic priorities for DHS's Science and Technology Directorate? We will ask Dr. Reggie Brothers, Undersecretary for Science and Technology at DHS, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.